my goodness. Welcome to Wham Bam Pow. This is a movie show, a podcast about movies, specifically of the sci-fi and action persuasion. Yes. I am Rhea Butcher, otherwise known as Pamplemousse, and or the Lady James Dean. And if you play with me on my baseball team, Queeb. That is my baseball nickname. No one call me that. Everyone's going to call me that. With me this week is Mr. Coco Palau himself, Ricky Carmona. How are you doing, Ricky Carmona?
Coco Palau.
Coco Palau.
I am not as Coco Palau as I used to be.
No?
I feel weird carrying that moniker,
I
may drop the word moniker on you.
Please
early
do.
In the show.
Drop
early
it on
in the
me.
Show. Yeah, now I feel stubbly.
All right.
Stubbly. I got the mustache going.
You want to have a new nickname?
No, because Coco Palau will return.
All right.
The adventures of Coco Palau are not over.
Sounds good.
He's just
Coco Palau, Ghost Protocol.
Exactly.
Ghost Proto Coco Palau.
Proto Coco Palau.
There we go. Oh, I hope somebody's laughing in their cubicle at that, because I just did.
I believe you snorted as well.
I did.
It
I really
great.
Did. Cameron and I just got back from Las Vegas.
La Vega.
La Vega. Lu Vega.
Lu Vega. La Vega.
I only did 4 mambos, not 5.
Oh, hey. That 5th one. That's
it's
one that'll get you.
One. Cinco.
Si.
De Mayo. I don't know. Mall. I can't think of anything. But just to let you guys know, well, number one, Cameron's not in tonight because she is heading to Austin. Any point in the next couple of hours, and she'll be there all weekend. So if you're in Austin, go to Cap City, check her out. She's going to be there all weekend. This is coming out on a Friday. She's going to be out Friday night, Saturday night, maybe even Sunday. I think she might be in Houston on Sunday. And then we will be in Minneapolis the week after that, and then Baltimore, and then we'll be in Philly, and shortly after that, Massachusetts. So go to www.riabutcher.com or CameronEsposito.com for more info and tickets and stuff on those tour dates. And we will be back with a full review of Ex Machina, now in theaters, and also some news, reviews, and things you can use. Okay, we're back with some news, reviews, and things you can use. We've got so much stuff to cover because we were gone for a week. My entire in-law family was in town.
Oh, is that right?
The in-laws were in town, so I did a lot of hanging out, a lot of being around sisters.
Can we get a review of that? How about a review of that?
I give it 4.5 stars.
Okay.
The half star back is that they didn't stay long enough.
Oh, look at you. Those, I can just hear their hearts opening up.
Oh, absolutely.
They felt that statement.
If any of them knew how to download and listen to a podcast, they would definitely be changed by that statement that I just made. So, yes, it was very fun. But, you know, we had to just watch trailers on our own and not talk to you guys about it.
It was rough.
So now we're going to talk about it. Number one, Joker reveal. The Suicide Squad.
Oh, yes.
Leto Joker came out. What do you think, Ricky?
He looks like the Joker.
Sure.
You know, which I thought that was important.
Yeah, he does.
He has the white skin of the Joker. It was hard to take the picture seriously because it looks so hand drawn out.
Yeah, it looks real fake. You mean like somebody clearly photoshopped that on?
Yeah.
Like it's not his costume.
Right.
Yeah, I felt
so
the same way.
So it was hard for me to it was hard for me to be against it because I was like, oh, that just doesn't look
preliminary.
Real. Yeah, I just took it as like, oh, okay, all right, he's gonna look something like that.
Yeah, and I felt the same way. It looked real cheap, and I get it. Like they're just trying to create buzz and stuff, but it really looked like they downloaded an app that was like the My Joker app, and
then
like they pressed a button and it added a bunch of weird tattoos to him.
Yeah. And what's that app that everybody's using now on Instagram?
It's called My Idol.
Oh, boy.
I got rid of it. I made one, and then I made one for Cameron, and then I got rid of it because it's like, I don't know what any of this is saying. So I could be like saying yes to like, we can download all your credit card statements to make a better version of your face.
I love when little apps pop up like that throughout the year where everybody jumps on board right away. And then the next day they are just going to be like, that wasn't me.
I didn't do that. The late people that are really late to it, when you're like, dude, don't even put that up
don't
now.
Don't do that. What are you doing?
It's too late.
What are you doing?
It is too late. But, I mean, I don't I'm not a huge Jared Leto fan these days. Mm-hmm. I do think it's an interesting take, although it feels a little bit too D'Antward for me in the tattoo department. But the Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I heard that the tattoos are, he's not going to have tattoos on his body.
Oh, so why does he have them in the...
I don't know.
Well, that's
that seemed like such a... I mean, I could be wrong.
It's an interesting take, yeah. I think. I don't know about the, like, damaged one on his forehead.
I did not like that.
It's a little bit weird.
I didn't like that.
Just because it clearly looked like a font and not a... But now we're like, critiquing on, like, an art level, of, mm-hmm. like, a technical level. I did like the latex glove. I thought that was an interesting touch.
And it's also, I mean, what do you think? Sometimes, like... It's like the Batman suit. Yeah, it's the Batman suit.
Right.
Like, that's what... I mean, they're not ever really... They're giving us different versions in the movie of the costumes that we've seen all throughout the comic books. So they're just, like, being brought to life. And I know I'm just stating the obvious.
No.
But it's not like... It wasn't anything where I was like, oh, man, that's... I'm out. No, right. Thank you. Right. Nope. No, thank you. You're ruining the Joker's legacy. Like, I didn't have that kind of visceral reaction to it. I was just like, they have so much work to do, or he does, just because of Heath Ledger and all the weight that role carries. Like, I'm going
to
try and
he
not
has
be
a lot
the
of
guy.
Work to do based off of Heath Ledger and Jack Nicholson.
And Cesar Romero.
Cesar Romero. And not to
and
mention,
Mark Hamill?
Like, yeah. Come on.
Twinsies!
That was a perfect button on that. Well, I guess we could just move right into, because we did not talk about this yet, correct? The Batman versus Superman trailer? Or
we
Superman
did not
versus
talk about
Batman?
That.
I can't remember which one it is.
It is Batman versus
Thank
Superman.
You. Batman v Superman.
Dawn of Justice.
Plaintiff Batman.
In the people's court.
Kramer versus Kramer. Countersuit.
Oh, man.
I was just thinking about how satisfying that sound used to be when I was a little kid. I would wait with bated breath to see if the defendant would countersuit. And just be like, oh, my countersuit. And then it would go, and I'd be like, oh, God. Thank you.
I'm imagining you as a child saying, I'll be there in a second. I'm waiting on with bated breath.
Yeah.
Using bated breath.
6-year-old with bated breath.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So I watched the trailer on a plane.
Okay.
And I was like, eh.
Yeah?
I don't know, man. I know you are a big Man of Steel fan.
Big Man of Steel. I know you were not.
I was not. I mean, I didn't actively hate it, but I also am not, like, into it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, I saw on, I think, Slash Film or IO9 today, somebody made a colorized version of Man of Steel where it looks more like the Richard Donner ones, which I think is pretty fun. Anyway, I just... I'm a little tired of Batman, I think.
Okay.
I feel like the takes that we have on Batman are not changing very much. So it's just, at least it looks like from this trailer, like, oh, it's another brooding, growly Batman.
Yeah. For as much as they were saying, like, the whole thing in the comic is, like, he's an older Batman.
Yes.
And then when you see Ben Affleck, I was like, he doesn't look that much older. I was expecting, I mean, not as much when I heard Ben Affleck was cast, but it doesn't look like they've done a lot to, like, age him up. Like, in that comic book, Batman is an old man.
Yeah, he has gray hair.
Yeah. So, I'm into it. I mean, when I saw the trailer, I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's... A lot of the complaints or the major complaints that people had about the about Man of Steel, it looks like there are issues they're dealing with in the movie.
Right.
Like, I mean, and I had a problem with it, too. I wasn't crazy about all the religious imagery in the movie. I was like, we get it.
Oh, yeah.
We get it.
We get it.
But I like
this
whole
Jesus.
Yeah. But I like this whole concept of, like, oh, there's people in the world who do think he's a god.
Right.
And there's people in the world who are like, no, this dude's a problem.
Yeah.
And, all those people died. Gods don't do that. Like, I just like that. To me, that's a very, I don't think that's a Superman story I've seen in the movies, for sure.
For sure.
So
yeah.
I'm totally into that.
That is an you know, when you put it that way, I guess it feels a little bit like the same maybe I'm just feeling like this has been done already, but didn't we have, like, an Iron Man story that was like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Iron Man is not, is he, or am I thinking of...
I don't think so.
Man, I don't know. Now I'm just, My brain is so full of superhero stuff that I just casual Superman or superhero stuff that I can't even keep it straight anymore.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
So much. Tanto.
Well, moving to some non-superhero news.
Okay.
We'll do trailers in a moment, but Furious 8 is the thing that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I have to say, I'm super bummed. I know they got to make it. I understand. But I watched that 7, mm-hmm. and I have not seen all of those movies, so I'm not like some super fan or fan even. I mean, I like them, but, you know, I've seen 2. So, but I watched that, and one of the first thing I thought was like, wow, they did a great job with that, with something that, you know, is very serious.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, I was like, God, I hope they don't make an 8th one. Like, spin it off or do it. Just feels a little bit cash grabby, and I get it. They made a shit ton of money on it.
The movie has made
so they want to make even
lot
more.
Of money. Yeah,
but it just feels more sad. You know, it just feels like a sad thing to me. Do you disagree?
I don't. It's so they've done everything so right with that series in the last couple of movies.
Sure.
That I'm kind of just trusting them, like. Yeah, I mean,
they'll do it.
If you guys have an idea of what you're going to do, go for it. I've been into all of them. Is it weird that it's happening without Paul Walker? Absolutely. I mean, for as cool as that final, you know, I'm not giving anything away here at the end of the movie, but there is some kind of acknowledgement to the real world at the end of Fast 7. And, like, as much as I liked it, I did think, like, oh, this is a little weird right now. Mm-hmm. It's almost like there's this weird acknowledgement happening between us right now.
It's a very meta moment. Yeah.
Yeah. To me, that's almost a little bit weirder than the fact that they're doing another movie. Like, that movie made a shit ton of money.
Yeah, and a ton of people downloaded it and still made a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I get it. And then two trailers that I wanted to talk about. Barely Lethal. Did you see that trailer?
Oh, yes, I did.
That looks like a lot of fun. I mean, number one, I like that it's, first of all, it reminds me a little bit of this fake action comedy movie that came out in, I'm trying to remember what year, 2000-something, called Debs, which was like an all-female.
I kind of remember that.
It's a very indie movie. It's like an indie lesbian movie that was based off of a graphic novel comic book where they like go to this academy and become, you know, spies. And then there's like a counterpart male academy, and then one of the villains is Jordana Brewster, speaking of Furious, and this is where I knew her from. She's a villain and like one of the spies. They fall for each other. Very funny, silly story, and this kind of reminds me of that, and I like that it's about a woman, a girl, and Samuel L. Jackson looks amazing in it. Like that one shot of him like driving the bus and trying to get her back with like the crazy fake mustache on, I will pay money just to see that scene because it looks very funny. But I miss that. So it reminded me of the bygone era of, you know, teen movies that were kind of for everybody.
Mm.
You know, where like teenagers, like Mean Girls was probably the last one that transcended its age, its specific age group that it was targeted towards.
Huh.
You know, I just miss that of like being able to sort of relive your youth through movies targeted at people younger than you.
I got the vibe that movie is not targeted towards me at all. I was like, oh, I'm too old.
Oh, that's what I mean.
I'm too old for this.
I'm
too old for this shit.
It might be open to us. It's definitely not for us.
Yeah.
But we might be able to watch from outside, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not completely removed from it, but as I watch it, I was just like, yeah, this is like, I don't know, like 15-year-olds. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is it that wheelhouse? 15-year-olds, 17-year-olds. Sam, I mean, when I saw it, I was just like, yeah, that's, I didn't go crazy about it. I was just like, that's a movie that is coming out.
Yeah.
Sam Jackson.
I'm not going crazy for
Sam
it either,
Jackson
but
does not, I don't think he sleeps anymore.
Yeah.
I think he just goes from movie set to movie set.
He is working his little butt off.
Works on a Nick Cage level.
Yeah, and Haley Steinfeld, or whatever her name is in it. And so's Sansa. She's very Sansa-ing around.
Yeah,
so
they keep her, she's in the background a lot, too. I was expecting that she would be in the trailer more.
Yeah, curious to see what she does when she's not having a terrible life, basically.
It has kind of a Spy Kids feel to it, and I like that. I like Spy Kids. Spy Kids, underrated movie.
Yeah, very underrated movie. And then also, I watched Deadlands. Did I send you that one?
You sent me that as well, yeah.
The New Zealand movie that, like, James Cameron and Hobbit.
Mr. Hobbit?
Mr. Hobbit have been, like, really into. And, yeah, the trailer looked pretty rad.
Emily looks crazy.
It's awesome to see... You know, like, I was watching that trailer, like, being pulled in by the story that they were proposing to me and the action and all that stuff, and realizing my own, like, Americanized shortcomings, where, like, immediately when something's not in a language that I understand, especially action movies, because I think I go into an action movie to just, like, not think, and then I'm like, oh, God, I have to think about something else, you know?
Yeah.
And then I realize, like, wow, that's really short-sighted. So I'm trying to be a better person is what I'm trying to say. And it looks like a really amazing action movie from New Zealand. And so it's interesting to get a new take on it.
Mm.
So hopefully it'll be playing where everyone can see it.
Did you see Apocalypto?
I did not. I tried to watch it a couple. That's Mel Gibson, right?
It is Mel Gibson,
yeah. I didn't see it.
It reminded me a lot of Apocalypto.
Yeah.
It feels like, oh, this movie's going to be very unrelenting.
Right.
Especially with all the blood. There is a lot of spewed blood in this trailer.
There is a lot of blood. And a lot of blood on what looks to be like an ivory knife.
Yes.
You know, like a big, wide machete type knife that is like, woof, intense.
Yeah.
Intense.
There's going to be a lot of skin being sliced open.
It's going to get peeled off, and I don't like that.
But I was surprised. I'm also surprised that I don't still know exactly what James Cameron or Mr. Hobbit's involvement is.
They're just saying that it looks great.
They're just saying
Cameron's like, this is the best looking movie that to come out of New Zealand in a long time.
Yeah, yeah. The quotes that they have, I was like, okay, all right. I'll definitely keep this on my radar.
Yeah. Me too. It's officially on my radar. Also on my radar, a Galaxy Quest TV show, which I believe is just a tease thus far. But hey, I would watch it.
I got yelled at for not being a fan. Of this. Yeah.
Why are you? Well, don't tell me who yelled at you. But yeah, why are you not a fan?
Do we need a Galaxy Quest TV show? I mean,
probably not.
Galaxy
but I feel
Quest
like they
is fine.
I would
give
like
me something
a
else. Give me a sequel.
Yeah.
I would rather take a sequel. Over a TV show.
Okay.
But
I'll
also,
let them know.
Please, thank you. Thank you. And also, I mean, it's... Galaxy Quest is so good. That story is solid.
It's pretty solid.
Boom. And now, who are they going to cast in it? Who are these people?
I don't know. They're
who are they going to get
it with, like,
to fill...
One Direction or
the
something.
The shoes of Tony Shalhoub.
It's going to be hard. Those are big Shalhoubs to fill. And on our last news review and thing you can use, the Star Wars trailer.
I'm sorry?
The Star Wars trailer.
I don't know what that is.
It's Star Wars.
Oh.
Trailer?
Oh, I know
Star
what
Star Wars trailer.
Ah.
We were out of town or off the show when the whole Star Wars, what was that thing called? Celebration? The Celebration?
It's something, I didn't know it was something they did.
Me neither.
But it is something they do.
They do it now.
They do it now. Apparently, they've been doing it for a while, actually.
Yeah.
But people are paying attention. People pay more attention to it, or more attention is given to it
right.
when there is, like, a movie to be released.
Yeah, I don't think people really cared too much about Star Wars Celebration 91.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's
a
VHS tape of it somewhere.
Was...
The faxes we got in that year in 1991 were off the charts. So I watched those of you who listen to the show regularly might know that I am not the biggest Star Wars fan. It's not like I hate it or anything, but it's not my movie. My movie is Back to the Future. It just is. That's what it is. That got into my heart first, and I didn't have a lot of space. It filled up a lot of space. So I like Star Wars, seen them a bunch of times, just wasn't ever my thing. And I was excited to see the new three when they made the first new three. And then I've been hesitant to like these next ones.
Mm.
But after seeing that trailer, I was like, ooh, boy, I like that. I mean, I like watched it and was like, oh, God. I mean, I didn't get super excited, but Chewie, we're home. Come on. God damn it. I am enough of an Indiana Jones fan that seeing that was enough.
Yeah.
To wipe my memory of Crystal Skull and just be like, yes!
I think that's what everybody's... Well, I won't say everybody, but I feel like a lot of our reaction to that trailer was exactly that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I was just kind of like... Like, after it was over, I was like, yes! And then I was like, God damn it.
I know.
Back here again. I said I wasn't coming back here, and here I am.
I'm only dipping a toe into that thing. I mean, I'm just looking at, like, the nostalgia of it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Han Solo and Chewie, loved it.
Yep.
I love that lightsaber, the crucifix lightsaber.
The weird thing.
Cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
Oscar
absolutely.
Isaac, yes. We're going to talk about him some more. A woman being featured prominently in the trailer. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, they're doing everything I wanted them to do. So let's just hope they do everything I want them to do in the movie.
For sure. That first trailer, that's where I dipped my toe in. After this last trailer, I mean, I got my swimming trunks on.
Oh boy, Ricky, you're gonna get hurt.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not gonna go that deep. I'm gonna stay.
Gonna be closed.
Oh,
you're gonna get to the door and you're gonna be like, no,
let me in.
It's December. Ah.
That opening shot in that trailer, where that
that
Imperial
out.
Cruiser is just like in the sand. That's great.
You know what that shot reminds me of? Alien.
Oh, that makes sense. It reminds me
of the space jockey when they first see it, and you're like, what the hell happened here?
Yeah.
And that was a great choice.
Yeah. Here's how I spend my Sunday afternoons watching movie trailers.
Perfect.
And I watched the trailers of the prequels.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, these, like, I'm pretty sure I didn't have this thought then, but as I was watching, I was like, man, these look terrible.
Oh, yeah.
And then watching that new trailer, I just went right into that new trailer. And
so
I was
different.
Oh, yeah. It just looks practical.
Right.
You know? Like, when things blow up, they look like they're blowing up there.
Right.
And, like, you can see the suits. Not everything is CGI. That's just such a huge...
I know.
We take it so much for granted, and we just say it like, oh, yeah. But it's just when it's done, it just makes such a difference. It's so dope.
Yeah, I can think of the way those first three sequel or whatever they are, prequels, they're not even three, the first three movies.
We can't even talk about
in chronological order, I guess, anyway, of them just having this weird sheen of, like, fake sand, you know, just, like, everything looks really fake.
Yeah.
And I know it's all fake, but, like, we've done such a great job in the past 20 years figuring out how to make fake things look real, you know? So, anyway... Ricky, we're home. We'll be back with Ricky's amazing segment, What's Poppin', after this.
I'm Dave Holmes, and if you've been missing my show, International Waters, you've been missing this.
If there's one thing I know about owls, they are wise. Two things. They are wise.
Yes.
They love nightclubs.
They wear tiny graduation motorboards, and they love nightclubs.
They also do the best double takes of all birds of prey.
And if you slow it down, they actually go,
International Waters, a panel show where U.S. and U.K. comedians battle for pop culture supremacy. Subscribe right now on iTunes or at MaximumFun.org.
Oh man, we're back. I believe that was a guitar riff. Couldn't rightly tell. We're doing a segment that we haven't done in a minute, but it's one of my personal favorites. What's Poppin' with Ricky Carmona.
Oh,
what's poppin', Ricky?
What's poppin'?
Perfect.
Did you like that? That was good.
I liked it.
You know what? Rhea, I love going to the movies.
Oh, yes,
I don't know,
Ricky,
if I have mentioned that.
You haven't.
And when I don't go to the movies, when I don't go to the theater, I enjoy movies at home. I enjoy making popcorn for myself at home.
Yes, you do.
I enjoy making popcorn on the oven due to the
stove.
Exactly. What did I say?
You said oven.
You know what I mean.
That's the bottom part.
Thank you. Say, sometimes, you know what? I throw it in the bottom there, bitch.
Throw that
Get it
thing
in, there.
In the toaster part.
Come on now. Extra crispy. And I don't make popcorn in the microwave oven.
Right, like some sort of savage?
Like some damn animal.
Like an animal that has a programmable nuclear reactor in their home.
Exactly. I don't come from that world.
Yeah.
I come from the world where you make fire with your hands.
Right.
And you get a pot, and you throw the corns in there, and you throw some oil.
Yeah, girl, preach.
You throw some stank on it, you got some popcorn in your mouth. What I did this time was I thought outside the box. I thought outside the stove, you might say.
Ah, yes.
This past weekend, I went to the historic Los Angeles Theater for a special screening of The Godfather.
Oh, awesome.
And it was fantastic.
Did you know that's one movie that I haven't seen in the theater and I would love to see in the theater?
Oh.
I also wish I could, wipe my brain and go see those movies in the theater if I had never seen them before.
This is probably the closest that it's felt to that because it was such an experience of... Everybody was encouraged to dress up like the 50s, so I wore a suit. My buddy who I went with, he's wearing a suit. This is a thing sponsored by Cinespia, so the people who go to these things, they are very dedicated to the event. So actually, everybody was wearing a suit. It was fantastic. The historic Los Angeles Theater is a theater in downtown, and it just reminded me of the theaters when I was a kid in Chicago. It was a marquee. And a marquee that wasn't just flat against the building, actually stuck out. Just waiting in line, just that whole experience of going to the theater, there's just certain things that's oh, I could do this forever. I could go to the movies every day. We're all waiting in line to go into the movie theater. We walk in, and it really is kind of like a palace. There's this huge staircase that goes up top. At the top of the stairs, DJ Hollywood's own Elijah Wood.
What?
On the ones and twos.
What?
Dropping music for us. DJ Frodo.
You mean he had to use his hands?
He used his hands. That was great. There was a ballroom downstairs made to recreate it to look like the wedding of the Corleone wedding.
Oh, my God. You're kidding me.
I am not kidding you.
I missed a big one.
Drinks of the era. As well as drinks of today. There was martinis that could be had. There was cannolis, which I did not get a cannoli. Was there popcorn? I bet you're wondering.
Was there popcorn?
You're goddamn right. There was popcorn. Oh, yeah. Oh, it was just walking in and
was
smelling.
Was it lasagna popcorn?
It was not lasagna popcorn. Now, here is where... sometimes I make mistakes, Rhea.
Sure.
I make mistakes. I mean, this thing was sold out, and there was a line around the corner for popcorn. So I actually could not get popcorn.
No.
I know, because it was get popcorn or get a seat.
Right.
Ended up, couldn't get a seat on the lower level, had to go upstairs to the balcony, get up there, and I am freaking out because
sure.
I don't have popcorn.
Right.
I'm... Very
losing
upset.
It.
Yes.
I understand.
And my buddy's there and he's just laughing at me. These two women who are sitting next to us overhear how upset I am about not having popcorn. They say, "We have an extra bag of popcorn."
What?
Please take our bag of popcorn.
Was it the best bag of popcorn you've ever taken?
God damn right it was. It was delicious, traditional, salt and butter.
Perfect.
That's it. It was great.
The best kind.
Oh, my favorite. And you know what goes well with popcorn?
What?
Whiskey gingers.
Oh, really?
You goddamn right they do. Because that's what I was just...
I always went with junior mints, but all right.
Oh, man. I hope that becomes a thing now. It feels like it kind of is. It's just having bars in movie theaters. It just makes it... It's just a different experience to watch a movie. It's
sure.
A little bit more. Even though it's a movie theater, it feels like a little bit more of like a play, like a production.
Yeah,
and also just the whole idea of being all suited up. It was fantastic. The movie looked great. It was a 35mm print of The Godfather.
Beautiful.
Eating popcorn, sitting in a balcony. I felt like a goddamn grown up.
Man, that had to be great.
Oh, I loved it. Sound was terrible.
Oh.
Awful audio.
That sucks.
Awful audio.
That sucks because it's a beautiful sounding movie as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Great score.
It's a great score. Great score. Produced by Timbaland.
Produced by Timbaland.
Produced by Timbaland. Empire's own Timbaland.
Yeah. I also had like a popcorn incident this weekend. No, it's like a positive thing.
Okay.
When we were in Vegas, here's the thing. Like a couple months ago, Cameron Esposito, our mostly all the time host, mentioned Garrett's popcorn in a media outlet of
that
some
made my
kind.
Heart flutter just hearing the word Garrett's popcorn.
And so now, anytime they can, they get us Garrett's popcorn.
What?
Like, they stop by and drop it off. It'll be in the green room when we're in Chicago. And we got a barrel of Garrett's popcorn in Las Vegas. There's a Garrett's popcorn there. And I had, it was Chicago mix, of course.
Of course.
So good. Mm. It, like, almost ruins movie popcorn for me. Because you get that and you're like, I mean, I brushed my teeth. This is a little gross. I ate Chicago mix, for those of you that don't know, is caramel corn and cheese corn.
Mm.
And Garrett's is the best. So I was eating a bunch of it and I was like, I have to stop. I'm not going to stop if I don't stop. And so I went and brushed my teeth, flossed my teeth, and then I spit, and my spit was bright yellow. That's good popcorn.
That means it's working.
If it sticks with you after brushing, if it's like an oil slick in there and you got to put some like palm olive in your mouth to get it out of there, that's good popcorn.
Yeah, it is.
So that's my What's Poppin'. I also want to tack on my own little segment to Ricky's What's Poppin', which
would
I think
please?
Was amazing.
What?
My
oh, thank you.
What's Pop. I want to tell you guys what's the perfect soda companion, or Ooh. Pop, as I like to call it, as being from the Midwest. I would say for this film, Ex Machina, go with the Diet Dr. Pepper. It tastes more like Dr. Pepper than Dr. Pepper. And isn't that a serious mind F? Just like the upcoming movie is. And we'll be back with a full spoiler-full review of Ex Machina after this.
Hey, you like t-shirts, right? How about a mug? Are your walls looking a little bare? Visit MaxFunStore.com and cover all of these bases and more. We just added some amazing new shirts and posters. So visit today and outfit your home and torso with the freshest MaxFun merch. MaxFunStore.com.
All right, well, now it's time for the cornerstone of the show, the big time review, the full of spoilers review. And I just really want to let you guys know that because this is a movie that's in theaters. Don't want to be a jerk. We're going to just talk about the movie. So if you haven't seen it yet and you don't want to get spoiled, just hang on. Come on back to us after you've seen it. It's going to be funny. And if you don't care, then you don't care. And you can just listen to the whole thing. So, the movie that we are going to do this week is 2015's Ex Machina, or Ex Machina, which the Ohio part of me keeps calling it, which is a movie about a young programmer who is selected to participate in a breakthrough experiment in artificial intelligence by evaluating the human qualities of a breathtaking female AI. That is the plot summary direct from IMDb. This movie is a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
Killing it.
It's killing it. This movie was written and directed by Alex Garland, who wrote 28 Days Later and also Sunshine. He's done a lot of stuff. He wrote Dread, which we really liked, and he wrote the screenplay Adaption of Never Let Me Go and
I
The
see
Beach.
That. Have you seen Never
I
Let Me Go?
Seen Never Let Me Go. It's another one of those movies that Cameron Esposito told me the ending to. So
are you serious?
I don't need to watch it
now. Oh, I was about to say that's a movie where like I already
you somehow skipped it.
That I skipped it and then I heard a little bit about what it was about and I was like, "Oh, okay, I want to see that. Don't tell me anymore."
Yeah.
Cuz nothing about what is portrayed about that movie is what that movie's about.
Right.
If that
for
makes
sure.
any sense.
It does make sense. And I also somehow was able to skip spoilers and then was just finally like, just tell me. Because you wouldn't drop it. And I was like, just tell me then. Just tell me. So this movie, I guess Oscar Isaac is not the star of this movie because he's billed sort of last in the credits. But I think that guy, I can't wait to see what happens for that guy. I mean, he's in the new Star Wars.
Yeah.
He's in this. He started in basically his ascent in Drive, and he's come so far in all of his roles, and I really like him a lot.
He's great.
I, like, love watching him.
Yeah.
He just has such great takes on his characters, I feel like. He's always super grounded, even in crazy things. And I really enjoyed his performance a lot in this movie.
Yeah.
It's one of my more favorite things. So let's see. What else can we say about it? Do you want to just get into best and worst?
Sure, girl.
Ricky, what is your worst part of this movie?
Oh, we're going there. All right.
I'm guessing.
I would say I wasn't that crazy about the casting of, is it Domhnall Gleeson?
Yeah.
I thought he was kind of like the weak link out of the I was going to say three, but there's four of them. Because I don't want to discount Kyoto. Is that her name?
Kyoko.
I'm sorry. Kyoko. You know, he was just on a talent level, just acting wise.
Yeah.
I was least interested in him.
Sure.
And you're kind of following. I mean, the movie starts out with him, and you know it's kind of like his story a little bit. I didn't buy. There's moments where he's trying to fool Nathan into doing certain things, and whenever those moments happen, I go, "Do you not know how smart Nathan right. is? That you don't yeah. think? I mean, it was just so. And I don't think that it was like a script thing. I think it was just like, oh man, you're just. I just wasn't crazy about like the choices he was making. I liked this movie. I did not go crazy. Like, a lot of people I've talked to have seen it are going nuts about
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I just thought, like, I thought it was a good movie.
Sure.
I didn't go nuts about it. I wasn't crazy about Nathan is supposed to be this very, I mean, he's brilliant, but he does not know how to set up his own, like, home security system.
Yes.
He has a real big blunder there. So that kind of, like, took me out of the movie. For as much as the movie is always trying to play to like the height of its intelligence, it like in that third act, little things kind of happen where I'm like,
do you think it is playing to it the height of its intelligence, or do you think that it purposely downplays its intelligence, the movie itself?
I think it downplays it because I mean him he has this conversation pretty early on with the guy like, hey man, let's just talk like normal people or I mean something to that effect. And I think that's kind of like their way, the director's way of like, yes, this movie is going to be, you know, the ideas behind this movie are way up here, but we're going to talk to them. We're going to talk about them at this kind of like base yeah. level.
See, my interpretation of that was him just trying to get Caleb's guard down,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like.
I absolutely think that as well. Absolutely.
To me, it like wasn't as smart as, say, Bruce Willis's line in Looper when he's like, if I tried to explain it to you, you'd just get lost or whatever that was, you know, in the diner when he, which was like a joke on time travel movies and every expectation coming into it. And then also like it would be really boring and all those things. I just kind of felt like, that line was like a little bit weird to me. And it was more of a personality thing than the tone of the movie. But I dig what you're saying.
Hmm. Yeah.
So Caleb was your worst part?
Caleb, yeah. I didn't feel bad. I mean, I obviously feel bad for that character, what is going on. But
sure.
I was also just like, oh, dude, you are for how intelligent he was supposed to be, or even I mean, there's
but
even
he wasn't,
kind of, yeah,
even.
Yeah. I mean, there is kind of like a little reveal that he's not. It still was just, man. I don't know. I just didn't.
I totally agree with you. I don't know that actor was necessarily the right choice to be put against Oscar Isaac.
Yeah.
Because he's been in True Grit and some Harry Potter movies and stuff, and he just wasn't playing. He wasn't playing that character to a level that I felt matched the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Necessarily.
Yeah.
So you're like, he. Honestly, I would rather see the cartoon character Fry from Futurama in that movie. I would buy that more than the character that this guy was playing, because it just didn't feel right. But I think my worst part, because I totally agree with you on that one, I think my worst part was...
What was your worst part, Rhea?
Oh, thank you, Ricky. How, like, uselessly laborious a lot of the film was. Like, I just... I like slow movies, and I like quiet movies. I like tension to build naturally. I don't need things to be blowing up constantly or crazy smash cuts or any of that stuff, but I just felt like, all right, we got it. Like, let's move it along here just a little bit faster. I mean, I know we're only taking up a week, but, like, whew, boy, it just felt like... And then I would also say, and we were talking about the score in The Godfather, like, that's a slow movie. That movie takes its time, and the score... helps it do that. And I felt like the score in this movie sort of emphasized how slow it was going. And it just made me want to be... I'm yawning talking about it. I have not been as bored in a movie. Like, I wanted to check my phone. Never want to check my phone in movies, other than when I went to see Her, but that was just like a weird... psychosomatic
thing.
Yeah, I want to be a part of the movie. I wanted to tweet the experience. But yeah, I like got up and went to the bathroom and checked my phone in the bathroom because I was like, what's going on in the real world?
Wow.
And I just got bored with it really quickly. So that would be my worst part. I felt like the pacing was off.
Was there a specific moment that made you go like, all righty, I'm done with, I'm like, what built up to I'm checking out right now?
I think it was a lot of like maybe when we got into day three, when he was still interviewing her, and it was just a lot of back and forth, and it felt like we were just going through the same territory over and over again. Somewhere in the middle, it lost me, where I was just like, all right, okay, let's move on and stop just talking to each other.
Yeah.
Can we do something? Can you show me something? And then it picked back up when they went into the lab. It's like, I think I needed the lab 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And maybe I want to see a little bit more of the lab. Like, that's very interesting to me, like what went into this stuff. And I know they had to keep it secret for the big reveal of the end of the movie. But like, whew, you got to give me something along the road. Some breadcrumbs here and there.
Yeah.
To keep me interested.
Can I ask you this?
No. Just kidding. Please do.
I like to read I like to read a review after I see the movie, obviously, and whatnot. And people keep talking about, like, in this movie, like, reveals and twists. Now, as I was watching the movie, I wasn't like, I know exactly how this is going to end. But I think the movie does a really good job of, like, I was like, it was like watching an episode of Black Mirror.
I haven't watched that yet, but I think I'm picking up what you're putting down.
You just get this sense of, like, this world isn't right.
Yep.
Somebody's going to get taught a lesson here.
Yep.
And it's not going to work out, probably for us.
Right.
Meaning, like, humans. And I got that vibe very quickly from the movie. So I was like, all right, these guys, you know, I wasn't digging, you know, I was like, Nathan is shady. He's clearly shady.
Of course.
Caleb, I just don't buy. And this girl, robot girl, like, I can't figure anything out on her, and that makes me nervous.
Yeah.
So, like, when...
I mean, are people honestly talking about, like, they didn't know that Kyoko was a robot?
I think there's some people... First, I didn't know right away that she was a robot.
I'm going to tell you something crazy, Ricky.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's tooting my own horn.
You knew right away.
Toot that own horn. So
play that
immediately.
Shit. Play that shit.
As soon as she did not talk, I was like, she's a robot.
Yeah, huh?
She's not talking, and she's interacting with them on this super weird level. I mean, I think they cheated. I don't know. I just, like, I could tell.
I took her character as this guy, this genius Nathan, is obsessed with power and, like, dominance and... Asian culture having some kind of, like...
They fooled you, Ricky.
Geisha. I don't know if that's the right word. But that's the vibe I was getting. But as the movie was progressing, I was like, maybe she is a robot. I did not buy the scene at all when Caleb thought he might have been one.
Like,
sliced it. I was like, why am I watching? This is just...
I do think... Well, let's go into our best, because Cameron did bring... I mean, I think it's weird. It's definitely weird, but I do give that movie props for going there. You know, like that he was so confused about what was going on because he's like deprived of sleep and deprived of light and deprived of the outside world and everything that he's like, am I even real at this point? Like, am I a fake thing? Am I the touring machine? Which I thought was kind of cool. But again, I felt like it was too, it was like very belabored. But what is your best part, Ricky?
Oscar Isaac, Nathan,
yep.
and Ava. Those
really?
Are,
you
yeah,
like, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I thought that, that they were pretty great. I like that I couldn't get a read on her, really. And I liked this. We're seeing now, like, I guess the contemporary version of, it's kind of like when you see The Social Network. And it's
right.
like, okay, people who run companies, they no longer look like that person did in the movies 10 years ago. Now they look like 20-something-year-olds.
Nobody looks like Citizen Kane.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it was nice to see this this billionaire genius person who's just trying to like do like this weird kind of like, hey, I'm your boy, man. We're just gonna be boys and let's drink and kick it.
Yeah.
Like that's I just thought that was really smart.
Yeah.
I really like that a lot. Oh, and goddamn, that scene is hilarious where they start dancing.
The dancing thing?
Oh, man.
I mean, you knew she was a robot then, right?
Yes, yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, at that point, I was like, I get what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also
it's
just...
It's so good when they just, like, go immediately into this, like, choreographed
yeah.
dance together.
I immediately started thinking, like, oh, man, how long has this guy been there?
Yeah.
That he just has this route, like, has he... that, like, that route, like, he's been waiting to do that moment. It just like it just opened up that
yeah.
world of his or what his brain works to me a lot, and I really like that part a lot. This isn't. I like movies where we lose.
Sure,
robots win. Awesome.
Yeah,
I thought that was great. So I like that. It leads to that conclusion. Yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, I think I have...
What was your favorite part of the movie?
Oh, thank you, Ricky.
Your best part, I should say.
I also agree with you that the ending... I liked that the ending... that was the biggest twist to me, that they both didn't get out. And I liked that choice, that mm-hmm. she just went on her own, because that was what she was programmed to do.
Yeah.
And she was successful. So that was interesting. And then... I agree. Also, Oscar Isaac, my favorite part of this movie. I liked that he wasn't immediately sinister. You know, I think his performance and his choices transcend the movie itself. I think his performance is better than how he's surrounded. You know,
mm-hmm.
like in a different movie, he would be even more sinister by being the least sinister that he is. Like, he's not sinister right away.
Yeah.
You think he's going to be, and then you're like, oh, he's just like a tech dude. Like, okay. And then he evolves into this... thing. And I think the Jackson Pollock allegory or like it was a little heavy-handed if you went to art school at all, because he's like drinking exactly like Jackson Pollock was and is a mess and a blah. Anyway, my absolute favorite part of this entire movie, and if it wouldn't have been in there, I probably wouldn't have liked it as much, but when they're talking about sexuality in the robot and
mm-hmm.
he says, well, I programmed her to be heterosexual just like you. And Caleb was like, I'm not programmed to be. He's like, of course you are. Everybody is. You're nature, nurture, a combination. We're all programmed to be something. And I was like, holy shit. We've gone so far that people, like, this is a straight movie. It's a straight movie. It's a, you know, quote unquote, normal, universal sci-fi movie where love with robots is a thing. And they actually addressed that. I can't believe it. I'm so stoked that that was in there.
Yeah.
It didn't have to be at all. And I liked that it was, and it was in, like, a positive way. That's what I love the most about it. Also, shout out to, like, the scene when they show all the previous versions and that one robot, like, wants to get out so badly that she breaks her own arms
off. Oh,
yeah,
that was great.
That was the best.
Yeah.
I needed more of that, I guess, is what I'm talking about. Like, getting up to the top of the hill. Like, I felt like we were just chugging up to the top of the hill. And the top of the hill was the end of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, I need like a little bit more, a couple more things here and there to keep me like invested in
yeah.
what's going on. And it just didn't nail it for me. So, Ricky, on a scale of 1 to 5 weird Hall of Mirrors closets with ladies in them, how many weird Hall of Mirrors closets with ladies in them do you give it?
I would like to have 3.5. Weird hallways with mirrors with ladies in them installed in my dope complex research center home. Can I get the home too? Can I
yeah.
get all that? Boom.
You get that. Oh, I also, sorry, in my best parts, I meant to say the interior design of his lair or whatever was amazing.
Yeah.
I would totally live in that thing.
The design of the movie in general, I thought, I mean, it looked great.
Yeah, it looked great.
Yeah.
So on a scale of 1 to 5, I can't believe they cut to tuna after talking about robot vaginas. I give it 2. I can't believe they cut to tuna after talking about robot vaginas. And I think Cameron would give it about a 3.5.
Because
she was pretty into it.
Yeah.
So, and she couldn't make it tonight. So there you go.
Did it remind you, or did we talk about this before? But it reminded us of the Machine.
Oh, 100%. Right? And I still think the Machine is a much better movie.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
I liked this more than I did.
Interesting.
The Machine.
I liked the Machine way more than I liked the other movie because it surprised me so much.
Yeah.
It did a lot of the same things. It just did it in a different way that I really liked. Because even the two robots talked to each other and we couldn't hear what they were saying.
I was about to ask you about that moment.
I did not like how much this movie was sexualized way more than The Machine was. Like, The Machine still kept a little bit of its, like, being a computer and mm-hmm. not necessarily being, like, a weird sexualized female child thing, you mm-hmm. know? Like, I liked that about The Machine, that she kept some womanness, you know, or like machineness. So I don't know. I would say watch The Machine if you haven't seen The Machine, because I liked it a lot better. Awesome. So Ricky,
yes.
What are you gonna leave us with this week?
Well, I have been treating myself lately to
treat yourself.
Would you please, Ricky? I will, thank you. I've been buying movies. I've been buying Criterion movies specifically. Most recently, I bought Hoop Dreams.
Nice.
Wonderful documentary. Now I've just purchased another Criterion movie. This movie called Carlos, directed by Oliver Assayas, I believe his last name is. And this movie's really great. It's available on Netflix now. It's 5.5 hours long. It's 5.5 hours long, but it's broken up into 3 parts. And it tells the story of Carlos the Jackal, the terrorist Carlos the Jackal, from the 70s up until, I believe it goes through the 90s. And it's just a really, like, amazing movie. It's done very much like documentary style. There's quite a few action set pieces in it. But the action is like this crazy. It just seems like, oh yeah, that's probably how it went down. Like whenever like action happens, you're not like, oh shit, this is so cool. You're just like, oh man, this is bad. There's people running through an airport with a rocket launcher. I would be shitting my pants right now.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like that crazy, oh God, this is happening. And it's really great. The guy who plays Carlos the Jackal is Edgar Ramirez. He's dope. It does this great thing where this movie, I mean, it's hardly any of it is in English. I mean, some of it's in English, but it's a lot of different languages. But all the music that's used is like New Order and like Joy Division and just like early like 80s like new wave music up against like this crazy global terrorism that's happening. And somehow it just works really well. And it's just a really great movie. And it's on Netflix. And there's 2 versions of it on Netflix. There's a 2.5 hour version. Do not watch that one.
Yeah.
Watch the 3-part one. And it's really great. Like if the movie would have been released in the theater, easily he would have gotten an Oscar nomination for Best Actor. It would have gotten several award nominations. Like it's that good. It's
awesome.
Pretty great.
I've been meaning to check that one out.
Highly recommend it.
And I will leave you guys with a fantastic childhood memory. Since we were talking about machines and AI, tweet at me if you had a MyPal too. I love making jokes about it, but everyone's too young to understand what I'm talking about. But I used to play with MyPal too all the time. And do yourself a favor and watch the commercial for it because it's pretty great. So awesome. MyPal too. Check it out. And next week, Cameron and I will be out, but Ricky Carmona will be steering the ship, and you guys will be watching Noah. I did not even mean to do that, but I just walked right into or sailed right into it, which is available on Netflix Watch Instant. So until next week,
I am Ricky Carmona.
And I am Rhea Butcher, and you have been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow has been recorded at Maximum Fun Studios by Lindsay Pavlis. Thank you, Lindsay, and Maximum Fun, and thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.